First John chapter number 5. First John chapter number 5. We're going to read a very familiar verse to everyone here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 8, or verse number 7. Let's go there first. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we have this morning to come together and to study your word. As we take that time this morning, may the things which are said and done bring edification to the saints. May we grow in wisdom and knowledge from your holy word. And as that were to happen, may we then go out and use these bodies to be ministers of reconciliation to the world. May it totally bring honor and glory to your name, not to us, but to you. For it is through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. This morning, well, let me start from the beginning. About the middle of last night, went to my cell phone, as I commonly do, ask the family. I look at it to see if there's a message, and there's a message from Tracy that pretty much says, I don't feel good. I'm going to try to be there, but I'm not going to make any promises. Check the phone in the morning. So I checked the phone this morning, and he does not feel good. And basically, he's like, that's all, folks. You're on your own. And he also made comment that he didn't want to, even if he did feel better, he probably would stay away anyway because he doesn't want to give whatever it is that he has to anybody. So while I was there this morning, I thought, all right, what do you want to talk about? And I was reminded recently about listening to the radio. With my old job, which I thankfully can say my old job now, there was a gentleman on the radio who was a rabbi, and what he was in discussion was how he could not find, he could not find a verse in the King James Bible that could prove to him conclusively that Jesus was Christ. I thought about loaning him my glasses because it's pretty obvious to me when you look at this Bible that without question, without hesitation, look at that word and say conclusively that Jesus Christ was Israel's Messiah. That he is God, that he's the Savior of mankind, and that through resting and trusting in that finished work that he performed at Calvary's cross, that shed blood of his was the perfect sacrifice for sin, that by resting and trusting solely in that, you've been given the gift of everlasting life. And I went through and I started going through some old notes real quick. Have this little box here, you can ask the family, of my old notes. And I went, couldn't find it. Couldn't find it. Guess where it was? On the table right in front of me. That's why I couldn't find it. Silly me, it was right where I left it. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look in this King James and whatever time we have this morning to study, and we're going to see without hesitation, without question, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is God. Here in 1 John chapter 5, I thought it the appropriate place to begin because verse number 7 is quite clear, is it not? For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father. Who's the Father? God. God the Father, right? The Word. Who's the Word according to John chapter number 1? Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And these three are what? They together make the Godhead, as we would use the word now. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. This poor guy obviously has never read 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. Because it's quite clear that by looking at that passage right there, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Word. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is Lord. So what we're going to do for whatever time we have this morning is we're going to look at the deity of Jesus Christ, because this gentleman brought him in question. Can't believe he said, "You cannot show me anywhere in the King James Bible that Jesus Christ is Israel's Messiah. You just can't do it." Well, let's take a look and see what the Word of God has to say about this. Is Jesus Christ Lord? By the way, the answer to that is yes. Without question, without hesitation. If you would with me, go to Isaiah chapter 43. Hope Tracy feels better. Hope Keith feels better. Whatever it is, this must be a bug that's going around right now. Isaiah chapter number 43 and verse number 10. What we're going to do is take a little look, and we're going to see the deity. Why do I always do that? I always pick the wrong one whenever I want to pick a marker. Let's try this one. Let's take a look at the deity of Christ. Go to Isaiah 43, verse number 10, Isaiah 43:10. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord," capital L-O-R-D, which designates who? Jehovah. And who's Jehovah? God. "And my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no" what? Do we have a Savior? Who's our Savior? That's why he's called the Savior. What does he do? He saves us from our sin. Takes us out of that sin, puts us into Christ. It says here, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen." Who's the chosen one? Wait a minute, it doesn't talk about Christ in the King James anywhere. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it does. "May know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed." How many gods are there besides the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? None. There are false gods, but they don't count. "Besides me, there is no Savior." Without question, it says, how many gods are there? And these three are one. There is one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Let's go to Isaiah 44, verse number 8. Isaiah 44. "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee that from time I have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." How many gods are there besides the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? None. There's only one. Go to Isaiah 45, verse number 21. Isaiah 45, 21. Isaiah 45, verse number 21. "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? Is there no God else besides me? A just God and Savior. There is" how many besides me? "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. There is no other God besides the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is only one. Well, guess what? With that in mind, that there is only one God, let's take a look and see who that is. Go to Isaiah chapter number 9. Galen, you were here this morning. Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Can you believe this is truth? It was in July. I was in one of the local stores, and guess what they had up? Christmas stuff. Christmas in July, but they already had manger scenes and all Christmas trees. And I'm looking and thinking, you know, I like Christmas as well as the next person. We wait till Thanksgiving. July. And they were selling manger scenes and sleds and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But look here, a passage that we commonly look at that time of the year. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty, the Mighty what? You know what this verse just showed who Jesus Christ was? Showed that he was God. You can't show me one verse in your King James Bible that shows that Jesus Christ is God. How about Isaiah 9? It clearly says he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting. This is how closely related he is to Jehovah, to God the Father. The Everlasting, what's that say? The Prince of, is Jesus Christ called the Prince of Peace? Is Jesus Christ God? Yes. You only need to go to one verse to make it right. And what we're going to see this morning, well, we're not going to go through all of them. I never did count, but there's got to be close to 50 or 60 verses at least that shows that Jesus Christ is clearly God. And that you can prove without question, without hesitation, and be confident in making the declaration proudly that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of who? Do you think those two are close? Do you think the Holy Spirit is close? Where does the Spirit work today, by the way? The Word. Scripture. All right, let's continue. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, verse number 23. Behold, a virgin. Ever hear of this lady called Mary? Pretty cool lady she was. Boy, would she have a little hissy fit if she were here and there were some people that worshiped her and fell down and said Hail Marys and all that kind of business, you know what I mean? Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a what? And they shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which is interpreted, who with us? Who is Jesus Christ? Was Jesus Christ in a manger? According to this, is Jesus Christ God? Yes. All right, there's another verse. There's another one that we just seen without question, without hesitation, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go to John chapter number 1. Oh, and by the way, this is not an exhaustive study. I'm sure you could go through and find more verses than I have here that shows clearly that Jesus Christ is Lord. John chapter number 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Come on, Bob, get your fingers moving. John 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was who? Verse 14, and the Word was made what? Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Jesus Christ, Lord, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. How about that? There are those two guys mentioned again. Isn't that brilliant? Think there's a reason the Bible was written the way it was. Do you see how important it is to recognize without question, without any hesitation, that this King James Bible is absolutely correct? It's absolutely brilliant. And if you go along with what it says, then you're in good shape. And the moment that you say, oh, that's not true, that would be better translated this, guess what you've just done? You've manipulated the word and you're denying the truth. And that's dangerous. That makes you, in your mind, more intelligent than this book. And the more you look at this book and recognize the truth that resides in this book and allow it to work in your life, you're in good shape. You're in good shape. John chapter 20. Oh, it's good to be up here again. It's good to be with the saints. By the way, before I forget, I know how many of you have been praying for me and my family, and you have no idea what that means to me and how much I love you and I appreciate you and I thank you from my heart. Okay? Now then, where was I? John chapter 20 and verse number 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them, and came to Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust them in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my what? You can't praise God. That doesn't say that. One thing I'll say about these things is, you know what this does? Helps me to be able to see. And it's pretty clear that I see here without question, without hesitation, that Jesus Christ is God. How can anybody say that Jesus Christ isn't God when this book is so clear and precise? Not because I say anything, but because it tells me and I believe it. Acts chapter 7. Oh, my friends, we've only started. There are so many passages. Acts chapter 7, verse number. Would help if I went there instead of Romans, wouldn't it? I'm sitting here thinking, that doesn't look like the verse I want to go to. Acts 7, and verse number 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Who? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he said this, he fell asleep. What did Stephen call Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ Lord? And it brings glory to who? God. God the Father. Without question, without hesitation, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hebrews chapter 1. And again, it would help if I went to Hebrews and not Timothy. Let's begin verse number 6. Hebrews 1:6. And again, he saith in the first begotten of the world, and saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angel said, who maketh his angel spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto, this is the Father, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O what? What does the Father call the Son? Do you suppose that maybe, just maybe, because it's written in such fashion, that the Father looks at the Son and recognizes that he is God? The Father, he himself, says in verse number 8, thy throne, O God, is for how long? Forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy what? Is there going to be a kingdom on this earth eventually one day? It's not here yet, but there's a day it's coming. And each day that goes by, we're how many days closer to his coming? One more. The Father looks at the Son and calls him God. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 20. 1 John 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God. Who's the Son of God? Jesus. And hath given up an understanding that we may know him that is true. Him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what? You can't show me one place in your King James Bible that Jesus Christ is God. You're right, I can't show you one. I can show you a whole bunch. Without question, without hesitation, is Jesus Christ God? And we've only started. I forgot. Let me put that down. Jesus Christ is God. That's point number one. We can see the very very, very truthful, the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. Can you read that? We see from Scripture that guess who should be worshipped? Is he not the creator of everything? Let's take a look and see in the Scripture what it has to say. Only God is to be worshipped. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Verse number 1. Exodus 20. We'll begin at verse number 2. Exodus 20, verse number 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have how many gods before me? There's no other God that should be worshipped outside of God the Father. God is to be worshipped. Go to Exodus 34, verse number 14. Exodus 34, 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Who's that referring to? Jehovah, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Thou shalt worship how many other gods besides God the Father? None. Absolutely none. Go to Only God is to be worshipped. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 6. Deuteronomy 5 I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have how many other gods before me? None. There should be no other God worshipped outside of him. Absolutely, positively, zero. Matthew chapter 4. Get there myself. Matthew 4. Verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and thou shalt, and him only shalt thou what? How many other gods are there to be besides God, period. Did Satan want a piece of the action here? What Satan wanted was Jesus to worship him. And he tried in every which way, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Used that and tried to bring Jesus down with that. And of course, did not happen because Jesus, he himself said, Thou shalt only, him shalt thou serve. That's it. No other God besides him. Only God is to be worshipped. Well, guess what? Is Jesus Christ to be worshipped? Why should he be worshipped? Because he's what? Go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to do what? God the Father says, You worship nobody but me. Jesus Christ, was he worshipped here? Why was he worshipped? Because he's who? Good. You can't prove to me that there's a verse in that King James Bible that shows Jesus Christ as God. Here's another one. Jesus Christ is Lord. And because of who he is, was he Israel's Messiah? Is he our Savior? As a result, should we worship him? In appreciation for all that he's done for me when I deserved eternal damnation? You recognize each and every one of us deserved eternal punishment, eternal damnation. Are you saved from that? We are saved from wrath through him. Look at Matthew chapter. Matthew 14. Verse 33. Was Jesus Christ worshipped? Yes. Verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and did what? Worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the what? Was Jesus Christ worshipped? As he should have been, because he is God. What we're going to see momentarily, that only God is to receive glory. And this is something that humanity does not like, because where do they want the glory and focus on? ever watch this thing called the news? You ever, like today? It's the first day of Sunday NFL. This is the first day the Steelers lose this year. Can you tell I'm not real confident in how good our team is this year? I hope I am wrong. First year I ever paid attention to football was in 1969. I was a whopping 8 years old. Believe it or not, I used to be a kid once. I heard somebody snicker. That was my loving wife. I still am a kid, just bigger. That year in 1969, anybody want to take a stab at what the Steelers' record was that year? They were very bad. They won their first game that year. They played this team called Detroit. I think they won something like 13-7. Don't ask me how I can remember that. You ask me what happened 5 minutes ago, and I'll go, duh. That first game they won. Guess how many games they won the rest of the year? You're right. You remember it too, right? You knew what way I was going. When those guys, when they play football today, you ever watch these guys run about 50 yards? They go in the end zone, and what do? Then they start this little thing called a jig where they dance around. Because they want to focus on who. Do you think we're any different? What mankind likes is self-glory. Who only is to receive glory? Isaiah chapter 42, I believe, is in my notes here if I can read them. Isaiah 42. Let's see if I'm right. Whoever said verse 8, Rhonda, you're being high-fived from a distance. Well done. I am who? That is whose name? That's his name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to a what? And I remember these days when I was, my father can beat your father, dominoes, amen. I can remember going in front of these things called statues. You can say what you want. We're not worshiping. Yeah, you are. I go in there, and if I get down on one knee, I probably won't get back up, so I'm not going to get down. Get down on your knees, and you worship these things called graven images. I used to do that. Thank God he saved me from all that. Who's to receive glory? Football player or baseball player or tennis player or basketball player, whoever. They want the glory on themselves. Mankind loves to receive glory. Who's the only one that deserves glory? And he deserves it all. Eternal thankfulness to him for all that he's done for us. Has nothing to do with me. It says very clearly, neither give my praise to graven images. That little lady I talked a little while ago called Mary, do you ever see these little statues of her around with flowers and posies where people go in there? I remember my sister praying to her for babies to a statue. and we've been delivered from all this freely by his grace. Isaiah 48. Verse 11, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it? For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto what? He's not going to give his glory to anybody else. Where does all glory, honor, and respect belong? To God. Is Jesus Christ God? There we go. Yes. Should I give glory to the Father? Should I give glory to the Son? Should I give glory to the Holy Spirit? And these three are all glory and honor belongs to him. Nothing given to me. In the scripture, do you suppose it says God is to receive the glory? Do you suppose that Jesus Christ is given glory? Go to John chapter 1, passage we were just at a little bit ago. John 1, verse number 14. For the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? You go into the Old Testament. The only one that has grace and truth is God. Jesus Christ has and is full of grace and truth. Is Jesus Christ, as a result of this, God? Yes. You can't show me one place in that Bible anywhere that Jesus Christ is God. Well, here it says, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Is Jesus Christ here given glory? Yes, without question, without any hesitation whatsoever. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of what? When Jesus hung on that cross and died, it showed his glory. How does a cross show glory? Because he separated himself and gave his life, so that by resting and trusting in his finished work, we would be given the gift of eternal life. Does that show his glory? How wonderful he is and how terrific he is on what he's done for us at Calvary's cross? Without question. Look at James 2. There's so many verses here, we just don't have the time this morning, and that's fine. Chapter 2 of James, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of what? But shouldn't the glory be on me? Look at me. Look at me. No, the glory doesn't belong on us. We never deserved it. Who deserves glory? The one who suffered and died at Calvary's cross. That's who should receive the glory. because of what he's done for us, we've been given the gift of eternal life. We'll do this one quickly, and we'll wind up for today. We'll continue this study another day. Can you read that? If you can't, it says, God is creator. God is creator. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Look at how awesome and powerful God is. Now, mind you, this is before the earth fell in sin and the universe fell in sin. Before all that, this place was perfect. Realize that? When you look, I often talk about people that know me know that I enjoy deer season. One of the great things about deer season, besides the opportunity to get a deer, when I go out in that woods and I stand in that woods as it's getting daylight and I see the sun come up over the crest of the hill, wow, what power God has because he created all this. Recognize something, though. I thought about this, and then I heard Dan Gross say it, and I thought, well, if Dan says it, it's got to be true. You look at that, and you think, wow, that's beautiful. In his sight, probably not, because in it right now, does sin exist? Is sin pretty? It used to be perfect, without flaw. Genesis 1, verse number 1, in the beginning, who created the heaven and the earth? God created the heaven and the earth. Is Jesus Christ God? Do you suppose that he's creator? Would you with me please go to John chapter 1? Get John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. John 1, and would you please with me go to verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's that talking about? Christ Jesus, that's correct. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? And without him was not anything made that was made. Who created the earth? God, specifically who? Jesus Christ. It says here without question, all things were made by who? Him. Who's him? Is he the Word? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who created everything? It's Jesus Christ. He said the Word, and there it was. There was no great big bang. Who created everything was Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 1. Oh, we are there. What am I doing? Looking at my notes, that's what I'm doing. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I'm afraid I wrote down the wrong verse. I apologize. Colossians 1. Let's try Colossians. Thank you. Everybody hear that? Ephesians, Philippians. 1, verse number 16. For by him, verse 16, for by him are how many things created? That are in where? That are in where? Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things created by him and for him. Who created everything? Specifically who? Christ Jesus. And he is before all things, and by him all things what? You want to know why the earth hangs where it does? By him all things what? Why is it the moon is over on this side over here at one night and over here on the other side another night? For by him were all things created, by him all things what? Consist. He created everything. And because he created everything, is he God? Yes. You see, it's amazing what happens when you let the Bible say what it says. And what you do whenever you get in there and you start to maneuver things and try to manipulate things, you're trying to say you're more important than the book. Because all glory, honor, and respect you're trying to put on yourself rather than the Creator. It is he who is important. It is he who is imperative. If it wasn't for him, I would not have everlasting life. It's all because of him. All glory, all honor, all respect goes to him. Let me just review here very quickly the notes that we did not have time to go over today. You ready? Hold on to your hats. The Bible is inspired by God. The Bible is inspired by Jesus' Spirit. God, the only Savior, Jesus, a Savior. Only God forgives sin. Guess who forgives sin? Jesus forgives sin. God is Redeemer. Is Jesus Christ Redeemer? God shed his blood. Did Jesus shed his blood? God was pierced. Was Jesus pierced? God was tempted by Israel. Jesus was tempted by Israel in the desert. God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus raised himself from the dead. God is the first and the last. Is Jesus the first and the last? Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. To the glory of God the Father. And that's our study. Understand, it's all about him. It's all about him. How much is it about me? It has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with him. Let all glory, all praise, all respect belong. It is he who has saved us from our sins and given us the gift of everlasting life. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time this morning that we've had to come together and study your word. We are appreciative of you. We recognize you as God and that Jesus Christ is God to the glory of God the Father. That you, the Son, and the Spirit are one. May we, in light of this, live a life pleasing to you. May all glory, honor, and respect belong to you. For it is through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.